ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. టుడే వి రీడ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం 5th కాంతో చాప్టర్ 13 ఎంటైటిల్డ్ Rahugana converses with Yadabharata, text number 17. Tairvanchitoham sakulam samavisham. Arochayam shilam paiti vanaran. Tajatirasena. తైర్వాంఛితోహం సకులం సమావిశాన్ అరోచయం శీలం పైతి వానరాన్ తజాతిరసేన సునిర్వృతేంద్రియా పరస్పరోద్వీక్షణ విస్మృతావధి తైర్వంచితోహం సకులం సమావిశాం అరోచయం శీలం పైతి వానరాన్ తజ్జాతిరసేన సునిర్వృతేంద్రియా పరస్పరోద్వీక్షణ విస్మృతావధి. తజ్జాతిరసేన సునిర్వృతేంద్రియా పరస్పరోద్వీక్షణ విస్మృతావధి. తైర్వంచితోహం సకులం సమావిశన్ అరోచయం శీలం ఉపైతి వానరన్ తజాతిరసేన సునిర్వృతేంద్రియా పరస్పరోద్వీక్షణ విస్మృతావధి. వైష్ణవిస్ తైర్వంచితోహం సకులం సమావిశన్ అరోచయం శీలం ఉపైతి వానరన్ తజ్జాతిరసేన సునిర్వృతేంద్రియా పరస్పరోద్వీక్షణ విస్మృతావధి. తైర్వంచితోహం సకులం సమావిశన్ అరోచయం శీలం ఉపైతి వానరం ஜாதிராசேன சுநிர்வ்ருதேந்த்ரியா பரஸ்பரோத் விக்ஷண விஸ்மிருதாவதி. Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport. Thy, by them, and the meaning of them is the cheaters and pretenders, the so-called yogis, swamis, incarnations, and gurus. Vanchita, being cheated. Hamsakulam, the association of great Paramahamsas, or devotees, Samavishan, contacting, Arochayan, not being satisfied with, Shilam, their behavior, Upaiti, approaches, Vanaran, the monkeys, which are all debauchees with no good character, Tajati Rasena, by sense gratification in the association of such debauchees, Sunirvritta Indriya, being very satisfied with getting the opportunity of sense gratification, Paraspara, of one another, Udvikshana, by seeing the faces, Vismrita, who has forgotten, Avati, the end of life. For those of you who are here for the first time, if it's the case of some, I don't know, this is a description to contextualize. It's a description of the material world compared to a dangerous jungle, and therefore some strong words are used. So please, relax, don't take it too personal. Yes, reflect on it, and we will discuss later on the meaning. Being cheated by them, the living entity in the forest of the material world tries to give up the association of these so-called yogis, swamis, and incarnations, and come to the association of real devotees. But due to misfortune, he cannot follow the instructions of the spiritual master or advanced devotees. Therefore, he gives up their company and again returns to the association of monkeys who are simply interested in sense gratification and women. He derives satisfaction by associating with sense gratifiers and enjoying sex and intoxication. In this way, he spoils his life simply by indulging in sex and intoxication. Looking into the faces of other sense gratifiers, he becomes forgetful and thus approaches death. Purport. Sometimes a foolish person becomes disgusted with bad association and comes to the association of devotees and brahmanas and takes initiation from a spiritual master. As advised by the spiritual master, he tries to follow the regulative principles, but due to misfortune, he cannot follow the instructions of the spiritual master. He therefore gives up the company of devotees and goes to associate with simian people who are simply interested in sex and intoxication. Those who are so-called spiritualists are compared to monkeys. Outwardly, monkeys sometimes resemble sadhus because they live naked in the forest and pick fruits. But their only desire is to keep many female monkeys and enjoy sex life. Sometimes so-called spiritualists seeking a spiritual life come to associate with Krishna-conscious devotees. But they cannot execute the regulative principles or follow the path of spiritual life. Consequently, they leave the association of devotees and go to associate with sense gratifiers, who are compared to monkeys. Again, they revive their sex and intoxication, and looking at one another's faces, they are thus satisfied. In this way, they pass their lives up to the point of death. Tairvanchito hamsa kulam samavishan arochayam shilam upaitiva naran tajati rasena chunirvritendriya parasparotvikshana vismritavadi. Being cheated by them, the living entity in the forest of the material world tries to give up the association of these so-called yogis, swamis, and incarnations, and come to the association of real devotees. But due to misfortune, he cannot follow the instructions of the spiritual master or advanced devotees. Therefore, he gives up their company and again returns to the association of monkeys who are simply interested in sense gratification and women. He derives satisfaction by associating with sense gratifiers and enjoying sex and intoxication. In this way, he spoils his life simply by indulging in sex and intoxicants. Looking into the faces of other sense gratifiers, he becomes forgetful and thus approaches death. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Chalakkaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Anandalila Maya Vigrahaya Hemabadi Vyakchavisundaraya Tasmai Mahaprema Rasa Pradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Srimad Bhagavatam is written for people of today, people of the age of Kali. The age of Kali is known as the age of iron. Iron is a metal which gets rusty very easily. So we see how nowadays things become rusted very easily. For example, like now we are hearing discussions about Europe, maybe the whole European project. I mean, we don't know. Some people say it gives the assurances. Don't worry, it's fine. Everything is going to be all right. Some people are saying the whole thing is going to collapse. And this is already being announced publicly. Discussions are there. Like, I was born in Spain. Recently I was there and they announced, I don't know why they announced it on the weekend. I always wonder why the weekend on Saturday is not a working day. Maybe people are more relaxed and they think will scare less people. So it will make it more relaxing. Now they are discussing about the elections on Sunday. So Spain got this big amount of money, 100 billion euros, something like that, as a rescue. They were rescued, but now it seems that the rescue, they still are drowning. That's kind of the situation at the moment. So things in the age of Kali tend to become very rusted very quickly. We make a big project, things are very apparent. They look very nice externally, but then inside is not as we have been promised. This is the characteristic of the age of iron. And also it's known as the age of quarrel. There is a lot of conflict. And even though human beings are very eager for peace, we practically speaking, we can say that there have not been, there has not been one day of complete peace where no war has taken place in the world. As unfortunate as it sounds, this, I don't think I'm exaggerating here, and it matches the reality, you can qualify it as you like, sad, or as you like to qualify it, but it matches the reality of life in the world. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam sometimes speaks in a very direct language, or even using metaphors to describe a reality which is very difficult to describe even directly. And actually the chapter we are reading, this is a conversation between the great sage Jada Bharata and a king, Maharaj Raghugana, who realizes that he has committed a mistake. He realizes he has become proud of his royal position, and he has stepped on holy people. He has mistreated holy people, thinking that he is superior. This happened in the case of Jada Bharata, because Jada Bharata, you know the story, many of you, he was carrying the palanquin of the king without revealing he was a spiritual teacher. He was a guru. He was like a diamond, a covered diamond. Sometimes a diamond is not recognized and needs to be polished in order to be seen. Or a diamond may be covered by dust. And then not even expert people will recognize the diamond because it appears to be something else. So that was the case of the sage Jada Bharata, and he was insulted by the king. Actually, the sage, he was moving a little bit the palanquin, not because he wanted to challenge the king, but because he wanted to avoid stepping on ants that were walking on the path. So he didn't want to harm as small living beings on the play of satisfying a so-called bigger living being, a king. Anyway, after Raghugana insulted the sage, and he realized when the sage started to speak in a wise way and without any anger nor retaliation, but actually in a compassionate way, he was speaking spiritual knowledge. When the king realized that, he came down from the palanquin and offered respects to the sage and asked him for a spiritual instruction. And now what we are reading is the spiritual instruction given by the sage to the king. And in this particular section, there are different chapters. In this particular section, Bharata is describing the nature of materialistic life and compares it to a jungle. When we enter into a jungle, you can imagine to go, for example, in some places in India, still nowadays, there are tigers, not so many, because the the human being is just killing even the tigers. I mean, it's for money purposes, and it's not protecting the natural environment of the forest. Recently, I was in Newcastle in the UK, and there were some people who went out to the streets to sing. And we saw some young men and women. They had signs and shirts, t-shirts, and different signs to save the tiger. That was the announcement. Save the tiger. Because I didn't approach them because we were singing. They were doing their business. We were doing ours, so we didn't talk at that time. But it called my attention how even the jungles are being destroyed by the modern human being. Sometimes which indicates that sometimes we behave in wilder manners than the animals, the wild animals of the jungle. That's a condition of Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel. So the situation, anyway, we can go to such jungles too, where the tigers still live, and it's a dangerous place. And sometimes people enter into the jungle to make some money. Why a human being will enter into a dangerous place? Human beings risk their lives in order to make money. Sometimes it's done in a legal way, like for example people who go to war. Sometimes some people do it for money, professional army. Other people may have other motivations also. There are different stimulus for a person to act in life, but money is one of the most important, because through money we're able to acquire whatever we need to live and to enjoy life. Without money nowadays, it is very difficult to truly enjoy life. And this is the characteristic of the material world. It's a place where fruitive action takes place. And the entrance into the forest of the merchant is like the entrance of the soul to the material world. So in this chapter, the whole description is metaphorical. And we're receiving some explanations, because Srila Prabhupada, in his translations and commentaries, is referring to the next chapter in an implicit way, in which all these metaphors will be explained in detail. And therefore, sometimes what we find here is only one, it's a partial explanation of the phenomenon. For example, this part, if we look at the next chapter, is describing how the life of human beings is compared to, it's affected by the wheel of time, which is compared to a cutting wheel. It's a very sharp razor, which is actually round, it's moving, and it's cutting everything. And this is actually, time is reducing the lifespan of every human, not only human beings, but every living being in this world. And as heavy as it may sound, again, it matches reality, that we take birth, a soul takes birth, has a small body, a baby body, then grows, becomes a young woman or a young man, then grows further, becomes a mature person, then For the then it starts getting old. After 50, you may say, okay, you reach the peak. Usually women reach the peak a bit earlier than men, in one sense, meaning by nature, become women also earlier than men, and then goes down. Say, approximately after 50. It's like when we go driving. We go driving and then we go up the hill, and then after we are up, there is no up anymore. We have to go down the hill. So life is like that. We reach a certain age, certain level of maturity, experience. Of course, if we behave as wise people, we can continue learning until death. There is no limitation, and that's what spiritual masters, spiritual teachers indicate to us, advise us. The scripture also teaches us this, to take this opportunity to learn. We are here to learn. Life is a school. But sometimes it looks, depending on the attitude we take, it looks like a school of hard knots. You see like that? Hard knots. A school where life is tough. And many times, unless we choose to a life of wisdom and spirituality, then we are suffering without understanding why we are suffering. And many examples are given here. This particular one is that the life is like a wheel, is cutting everything to pieces. It's cutting our bodies, become old, it's cutting our health, cutting our money. Like in the beginning, we were speaking about Europe, cutting money, cutting projects we have in life, cutting many times dear relationships. Sometimes we have very dear relationships, but then by the law of nature, these are taken away. Sometimes the other person changes his mind, her mind, in regard to that relationship. Maybe wife or husband, maybe children, maybe parents, maybe friends. Sometimes these things happen. People change their mind. Even if we love them dearly, we cannot do anything about it, other than experience the pain of being severed from that relationship. Or sometimes even we live together very in great harmony, which is not so common nowadays, unfortunately, but when this happens, sometimes we live together in great harmony, but then by the law of nature, a dear one is taken away to some other place, which we cannot see. Sometimes we find solace, understanding, okay, he or she went back to God. People who practice a religious process or a spiritual process, we find solace in this way. But we don't really see. We can see through the eyes of a scripture. Then we see. Through the wisdom of the sages. But still, we cannot directly perceive. We perceive only through hearing. Unless we are an enlightened person who can see beyond, by the grace of God, can see beyond what we normal people see, the apparent reality. So the metaphor here is that sometimes people, when when we or they see that life is coming to an end, that wheel is coming to cut us, take shelter of spiritual teachers. And here is mentioned about so-called yogis, swamis, incarnations, and gurus, which indicate the term so-called indicates that the person, without really scrutinizingly study the subject matter of what a spiritual teacher is, approaches someone just because he's a popular person, because people are saying that such and such person is an incarnation of God, or is a great guru, or is a charismatic person who's able to speak nicely, sometimes maybe charisma, the way charisma or good looking people and present, able to present a nice product, not always what is presented with brightness necessarily is gold. Most of the times it is not. So many times people approach such persons for spiritual instruction or shelter. And the comparison given here is like, it's mentioned different types of animals, vultures, herons, cranes, and why such animals are mentioned. In the next chapter, more detail is given. Death is compared to a lion. And all these animals cannot show the person who approaches them, cannot say, if someone goes to a crane or to a vulture for protection from the lion, won't get protection, because the lion is very powerful. So similarly, if we take shelter of such so-called spiritual teachers, Shri Shri Radha Gopinatha Ki Jai, if we take shelter of such spiritual, so-called spiritual teachers, who really do not behave according to the criteria given in scripture about what a spiritual teacher is, there are a series of criteria given. For example, a spiritual teacher should control his or her senses, should behave morally according to proper moral standards. Cannot be that a spiritual teacher misuses his position to exploit followers. That's called in the West, this is called pastoral abuse. And actually in some countries, it's penalized, could be penalized with jail or with big fines of big amounts of money for doing that. So it cannot be that somebody, okay, I'm the guru, I have the right to exploit and enjoy everything, the property of the disciples, without consideration of them as people, as respectable people, and more even than that, as living souls, spiritual souls, who are very dear to God. So a spiritual master should be fully considerate to his disciples. Of course, sometimes for training purposes, the guru may test, a real guru may test a disciple in different ways. But many times, people who behave immorally take a position of guru because it's a very good position to exploit other people. People become very susceptible to that. So this is the comparison given, that sometimes they approach this type of living beings, and these living beings cannot protect them from death, which is compared to a lion. And the idea is that those people cannot give true spiritual instruction in order to free the soul from the repeated cycle of birth and death. So we need to receive shelter of someone who can guide us through the path of immortality, the path of service to God, surrender to God. So this is something for us to reflect. We cannot say either, we say, okay, now we are in the Krishna consciousness movement, we're living in a sampradaya, which is we could say it's an official school. This will be in modern terms. Sampradaya, it's a bona fide, a recognized lineage of spiritual wisdom and devotion to God. This is a sampradaya. And the Vedas, for example, in the Padma Purana, the mantra says, sampradaya vihinaye mantraste nishpalamataha, that unless received through a disciplic line, a sampradaya, the mantra that we receive will not give us a spiritual fruit. We require that the mantra has been touched by people, by enlightened people, enlightened teachers from the sampradaya, the disciplic line. So we may say, we are in the sampradaya, we don't have to worry. And to a certain extent it's right, but that doesn't exclude us from the responsibility to scrutinizingly select the spiritual guide we receive, we take in life. And this is the instruction, we find this in Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatan Goswami. We find it in many different places. Srila Prabhupada will say, if you are searching for gold, you need to know what are the characteristics of gold. Otherwise, you may be cheated. Gold has certain characteristics. And unless someone becomes specialized to some degree, can be cheated. Of course, there are shops, official shops, where people who are there are supposed to be bona fide, and therefore the sampradaya system is there to go to a place where, okay, there is more guarantee that we will not be cheated. But still, we have to scrutinizingly study. Of course, with a respectful attitude, that should be always the bottom line in all dealings in life, and especially in spiritual life, a respectful attitude. But still, hearing, watching, experiencing, especially in the beginning, before accepting a spiritual master in a formal way by receiving spiritual initiation, as described here. So one risk may be that I select improperly. That's one risk. So basically, this is what we're getting here is a series of warnings. And this is like driving. When we drive in many countries, we find warnings, right? Like, watch out, right? Watch out, dangerous curve. And then sometimes it's written, Pandu Vijay Prabhu drives a lot, what's written there? They say, last year, so many people died here. So be careful. So similarly, the Bhagavatam is warning us. You are driving your path of life, path of spiritual life, watch out. There are many dangers. And the dangers are identified. Sometimes also, it may be the other way around. We may have an excellent, the best spiritual master, the best spiritual teacher. But then we are not the best disciple. Or not, let's not say the best. We're not a decent, good disciple. And we don't follow what we are asked to follow. So that's the other possibility. And therefore here it is mentioned, due to misfortune, sometimes we get the greatest opportunities are in front of us. Practically, almost, in one sense, we could say, free of charge. In that they are available. We don't have to do anything spectacular. We just need to take it and to engage with it. Engage with it, take the instructions, apply them in our lives, do something with it. It has been given to us. The Bhagavatam is giving so many instructions. But many times we just don't use them. Like the miserly person who has wealth. I remember when I was a child, I saw a film, The Miser, I think it's called. It's a very classical film. I remember the character. Probably there is more than one version. That person was like a kind of old man. You could see like dressed in very poor garments. And he was kind of accumulating always was counting money and keeping it, and he will hide it somewhere. Will not use the money. Will live miserly. Will not use it even for himself. That which for a materialistic person will be like, at least enjoy life. Nowadays people say enjoy. Right, enjoy life. But not even for himself. What to speak of using it for other people? He will not share it with anyone. So sometimes we may have all these gifts. We have practices, many processes to advance in a spiritual life. Hearing, we have so many books. For example, Srila Prabhupada was working day and night to produce so many volumes of translations and explanations of those translations for our benefit. And many times we just don't read them. It's there, but it's there. It's a good decoration on the shelf. We have a nice library at home, very nice, very impressive. But how much time we invest in reading, in benefiting from those instructions? And many times we have plenty, there is plenty of opportunity for spiritual instruction to spend time with more experienced people than we, and we don't take it. We have opportunities, we get in instructions in regard to chanting Hare Krishna, improving quantity, improving quality. Worshipping Krishna, remembering Krishna, but many times we don't use it. Good advice in personal life, we get a good counsel, and we say, oh, it's a good counsel, but then when it comes the time to apply it, we don't do it. So this is, in this verse, we find these two dimensions. One is, we approach the wrong people, and other times, even though we approach the right people, we don't use the gifts they are offering to us. And this is therefore sometimes we find statements in the Bhagavatam such as Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhakya Yupadrutaha. that in the age of Kali, people are lazy, misguided, disturbed, and they have infortune. Infortune means we have the opportunity, but even when we have it, we don't use it. Of course, that's not a law that we are born to be like that, but this is the general tendency, and therefore warnings are there. Like here recently in Belgium, the signs given on the road was fruit juice instead of wine. I think I saw something like that. It was for the driver. They put a cup of wine, and they were indicating, no, or there was something, orange or mango juice there, so that there will not be accidents. But people tend to go for the wine. The wine feels like, okay, makes you more happy, at least for the moment, until you crash. But that's the tendency. The scriptures tell us about a healthy life, vegetarian diet, offer the food to God. So many good instructions are given there. Practice prayer, meditation, study, devotion to God. But we tend to go for other things. That's the tendency. More gross, in a gross way, or in subtle ways. But that's the tendency of people on this age. And therefore, these warnings are given for our benefit. And sometimes the warnings are expressed in a strong way. The last point before we open the floor for comments or questions, here mentions the comparison of monkeys. Some say, come on, don't be so rude comparing people to monkeys. But because the metaphor is the metaphor of the forest. What is the idea of the monkey? This is what it is called, Markata Vairagya. It's a type of renunciation. It's Markata means monkey. Vairagya means detachment or renunciation. It's the renunciation of the monkey. And that is that the person is very renounced. Like in India, sometimes people may go naked, may yogis or sadhus may walk naked or half naked. Still nowadays in Himalayas or in some holy places we find this. But sometimes we also find some of these sadhus are bona fide sadhus, real sadhus, but some are Markata Vairagis, monkey sadhus, which means that externally, like the monkeys, they go naked, but then when it comes to sense enjoyment, and especially sexual indulgence, which according to the great teachers of yoga, such as Patanjali and Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, we find how brahmacharya or celibacy is a prescription for yogis. And celibacy may mean for married people regulation within marriage for a higher purpose in life, a spiritual purpose. These so-called sadhus, these Markata Vairagis, however, engage in sense enjoyment without any shame, despite the so many instructions given by their original teachers, their predecessors. So this is something to take into consideration, and therefore this very graphic metaphor is given. Somebody may appear renounced externally, but okay, what is the behavior of that person? And therefore prescription is given that prospective disciple and prospective guru should spend time together for substantial amount of time before committing to a formal initiation. At least 1 year of living together or very closely, seeing each other every day. Or if it's not, that's not possible to see the Guru so frequently, then an extended period, not just 1 year, maybe longer period before a serious commitment. Thank you very much for listening patiently. If you like to ask questions or make comments.
Because you spoke of the ill fortune, you know, that sometimes we can make a good intention and, you know, in the future we follow, this was a part, we say, we have this New Year's commitment or something, we have this, you know, attempt to enhance the quality of our life. But then, I was wondering, something was obstructed, so what is this?
When you talk about quality of life, you mean quality of a spiritual life, or you mean quality of life in general for people in general? Of a spiritual life, that we do our best to increase the quality of our spiritual life, but then something obstructs it somehow. Certainly there are different obstacles which are there and are identified in scripture. We find different obstacles. For example, obstacles may come from our own behavior or tendency to misbehave. Obstacles may come from outside, although the outside obstacles many times are opportunities. If we read them properly, whatever, when things happen to us, how do we read what happens to us? We read it, it's a problem. But many times a problem is maybe an indication. It's move right. Because if we will continue that route, we will end having trouble. So many times the difficulties we find are there to help us to help us grow. So difficulties may come also from the external situations, the nature, or come from other people. Other people who don't behave properly, or even they could be also sometimes, like in Christian tradition, for example, St. John of the Cross discusses three types of obstacles. That's his analysis, a very Christian approach. It's the devil, we will call it Maya in our terms, devil, flesh we were discussing about the whole these Markata Vairagis, monkey renouncers, misbehave due to the flesh. Not by eating flesh, although sometimes they also do, but by sense flesh enjoyment, sex enjoyment. And we see like the Roman Catholic Church, many problems here in Europe is connected to that, to being follow the pressures of the flesh and not focusing on higher experiences or honestly using one's sexual energy in family life. And the third, he mentions the devil, flesh, and the world. And the world means the material life, material things, which are maybe money, maybe fame, maybe different possibilities of enjoyment that may appear in our lives. So he says that, St. John of the Cross says that the devil sometimes appears in unsuspected ways. And the devil may appear even within our own family or our own community, which means we may associate with someone who spiritually is going through a crisis, and that person may push us in a direction. Sometimes we may want to help that person, and by trying to help we are carried away by that person who we are trying to help, because the other person's conditioning is stronger than our spiritual strength. That could be one case scenario. Other case scenario may be that the person doesn't appear to be going through a spiritual crisis, and we follow that person who seems to be more experienced than we are, and we get into trouble. So all these things may be there. Those obstacles are there. And therefore, we need to be, the recommendation given in Scripture is to always search for protection. This is the special quality of the process of bhakti yoga, or the process of surrender. It's a special gift that we need superior help in order not to get into trouble. Otherwise, it's very difficult. It's practically rest assured that, or not rest assured, I mean, not rest, sure we are going to get into trouble, because this is the nature of this world. It's a troublesome place, and things are going to happen. So we shouldn't become surprised when things happen to us, a test. We should be surprised when it's too good. It's like too sunny. It's like here in Belgium, when it gets sunny too many days, of course we like it. We are going, but we know it's not going to be eternal. So we should know that test will come to us. And that's okay. That's part of the, as we mentioned in the beginning, it is a school, and we are going to be trained in this school it's a school of wisdom, a school of devotion. We're meant to be trained for that, for wisdom and devotion, knowledge. So therefore, in the Bhakti school, it is emphasized the process of taking shelter of Krishna. Taking shelter of the company of spiritual people who can warn us. If we go astray, they will tell us, watch out, come back. Or if a member of the community goes astray, other members will say, hey, wait a second, come back. These are some thoughts. I'm sure it's a big topic. We could discuss more. Maybe you want to share some of your thoughts or make some comments or ask questions. If what is the you are right that for sadhana bhakti initiation is required, but the process of initiation starts even before selecting the guru. Initiation is the beginning, and instructions are given. So, for example, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions, Adau shraddha tata sadhu sangha tabhajana kriya tato narta nivriti syat, etc. And the meaning of this verse is a description of the different stages of spiritual life. And first he says shraddha, or faith, initial faith, or foundation of faith is there. Then sadhu sangha, company with spiritual people. And then bhajana kriya. Bhajana kriya is a spiritual practice. Following the guide of those spiritual people And in that level, formal initiation takes place. But before even that, the spiritual practice takes place. And certainly there is a value because it's part of the initiation process to spend time with spiritual people. It's part of the process. And especially nowadays, like in classical and medieval times, if we go to the traditional Gurukul systems in India, people will learn from childhood. And there will be the qualified people in the village who will be the qualified teachers, spiritual teachers, brahmanas generally. Sometimes in a smaller village could even be a qualified kshatriya if a qualified brahmana was not available. That's in Hari Bhakti Vilas. So that could be. And then the teacher will have the school, will teach, and then will give initiation. There may be more than one school. So it will be like a very natural process that will develop, process of a spiritual training and initiation since childhood. And it was administered by the guru, and also according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the parents will be involved in certain level. For example, in determining what was the best occupation for a person, in advising and a career guidance, this is what we will call nowadays career guidance, it was done combinedly by the guru, by the parents, and by the elders of the village. So it will be like it will be teamwork, actually, what we will call teamwork. Will not be that just one person says and that's it. Of course, depending on the case situation of the person, the guru or sometimes the father will have a special influence, or the mother sometimes, some elder in the village, special influence in a particular person. And this will be developed in a very natural way, but will be combined efforts of the people, not just the guru and no one else. So when it is only the guru and no one else, in Kali Yuga, sometimes watch out, because of course if you are lucky and the guru is a Mahabhagavat, and that's the process, the traditional process, take shelter of Mahabhagavat will take you back to Godhead. We're not questioning at the very least that process, that's the process, to follow a great devotee of the Lord. Yet, having said that, we should be careful because in the age of Kali, only relying on one person and no one else, in some cases can be a recipe for pastoral abuse. So it's important to have a system, and that's experience we have in ISKCON, a system of check and balances, so that there is proper protection in the association of devotees. Does this answer the question? Okay, anyway, we can talk more after the class, if you like. Any last point?
Like in between the relationship with Krishna, between these
I mean, we could say there are different ways of dividing it. We could look at possible, we could say, healthy scenarios. Sometimes it is said, for example, 8 hours to take care of the body, eating, sleeping, things, needs of the body. That's necessary. Otherwise, one cannot, without good health, it's not possible to practice spiritual life in our present condition as embodied souls. 8 hours for, we could say, for working. We could say working and doing things, practical engagement, which may include the work and then some also, some work at home also, if someone is a married person or so for the, can be service at the temple or can be you have to clean the room and do different things also. This could be, of course you classify it, maybe a bit flexible, you have to see, but this is a general guideline, which is, I think is relevant to us. And 8 hours for a spiritual practice. And you can say, okay, spiritual practice may include association with devotees, sharing with other spiritual people, or the spiritual experience, attending temple programs, chanting japa, reading. It's a division which is not very, we need to write it, because then it's true that time goes in between the fingers sometimes. It's like water. We have time, but then somehow it's gone. And nowadays with the computers can be even more. Nowadays with Facebook and whatever things that are in the computer, Facebook can be good to use, I don't criticize it. We promote the college through Facebook also. But can be also a waste of time if you are not careful in using things. Facebook, TV, those who have TV at home, and so many distractions may be there. And at the end of the day, what we have done. And so this will be one way of dividing. Another way in regard to, particularly in regard to reading, is say, okay, at least 1 hour per day. At least. Average. Okay, you can say some days more, some days less. But make an average. 1 hour per day. For example. Besides some temple listening or listening to some recorded lectures, which many times we can do in a combined form with our activity, practical action. Sometimes we are doing things, some, but while cooking we can listen also to spiritual discourses. Is that, give some ideas? But the principle is find the balance. Bhagavad Gita says that one should be balancing yukta hara viharasya yukta chestasya karmasu in eating, sleeping, working, recreation, spiritual practice. So there should be a balance. Otherwise, if we live in balanced spiritual life, it will affect us. Sometimes in the name of surrender, we try to do more than we can do, and then it's a problem. Like somebody wants to carry, to help, like we are downloading a truck. A truck with, say, we get books, new book, whatever, Chaitanya Charitamrita, new edition, and we're very enthusiastic to download the truck. And we want to do it very fast. And then we take more boxes than we can take at once. What is the result? Hernia. Isn't it? Discal hernia can be. So maybe better to take, okay, help, but take one box at a time. And then, after that, I mean, one, another, another, instead of trying to go too fast. So that's something to take time, take quality time from regularly to reflect, to make notes, keep a journal, a diary, how am I doing, discuss with other good friends, share how spiritual life is going, and when necessary, make adjustments. And this is a routine, should be done regularly. It's not that we do it once and that's it. We go to toilet every day. We need to take care of the body, otherwise we will get ill. If we don't empty the bowels in 3 days, we're in trouble. Health trouble. So if we don't take care of balancing our spiritual activities with the material activities which we use in the service of God and in the service of the self, spiritual self, then we will be in trouble. So all these instructions are there for our benefit, and we should take the opportunity of that this gift has been offered to us and use them to the best of our ability with the help of other devotees and the spiritual masters. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.